This WebmasterRadio.fm program is made possible in part by the following.
AFCON 2010, the trade show that you know our affiliates always attend for free, is making its way to Denver June 21st through the 23rd. How would you like to come to AFCON 2010 and not pay a single penny? AFCON 2010 presents the AFCON 2010 Fully Free Experience Sweepstakes. Go to AFCON2010.com/sweepstakes. You can win round-trip airfare, a three-night stay at the Hyatt Regency Convention Center Hotel, and VIP access to all sessions, exhibits, and WebmasterRadio.fm's affiliate bash. All you have to do is sign up now at AFFCON2010.com/sweepstakes. Be one of the thousands in the affiliate marketing community that are making the switch to AFCON 2010, the trade show that's free for all affiliates, June 21st to the 23rd in Denver. Register today at AFFCON2010.com.
The opinions expressed on this WebmasterRadio.fm program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WebmasterRadio.fm. Any rebroadcast or retransmission of this program without the express written consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
Feeling better? Looking better? Making life better? It's Life Tips. We'll explore the latest innovations, introduce you to the latest products, and bring you the tips from experts and environmental pioneers to help you lead a better life. Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome to today's show, everyone. I'm Byron White, the host of the show, here with Heidi Spleet, our running guru at Life Tips. Heidi, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Byron. Thank you for having me.
Pleasure. We are so excited to talk with you about preparing for marathons, the do's and the don'ts, tips and advice. You are the queen of marathons. Tell us a little bit about your marathon background and your marathon book that you published at Life Tips. Give us a little dose of who you are and what you're all about.
Well, I have been a runner since junior high school, and I discovered marathons after college. I always liked running the long distances, and I was always good at keeping a steady pace. And my coach used to say, well, you know, that's the best way to run a marathon, is to run the same pace for a long time. And that has served me well. I just fell in love with the distance. And since the early 90s, I've probably done more than 40 marathons, including 7 Boston marathons, and Boston is coming up soon. So with that in mind, I thought I would share a few tapering tips, and some of these are in my Life Tips book, 101 Marathon Tips, but I'll highlight a few of those. Unfortunately, I won't be there myself this year due to some injuries and things, but anyway,
couple questions for you before we get to some of the tips.
Yes.
You've been a guru of Life Tips for how many years now?
Oh, gosh. You know, it has been a while. I want to say 5 years.
I think that refreshes my memory. And you and I met once in D.C. some time ago, I believe, at a book expo that Life Tips was showcasing. Isn't that correct?
Right. That was actually when it was in New York. There was a book expo in New York, and I came up on the train for that.
Hmm.
That was right when the marathon book came out.
We did the book expo in D.C. one year. Did you stop by the expo that year as well? Did I see you 2 years in a row?
I think maybe not. That might have been before the book.
Interesting.
Or before my book, because I don't. And well, or maybe I did see you in D.C. also, but I know I did make the trip up to New York.
Well, we greatly appreciate all you've done for Life Tips. You've been a real leader, and thank you so much for all of your great tips and advice that help make the world a better place. You're really a great person to have involved in that. But tell us about your book. What was your experience like in creating your book for Life Tips? You know, we published a lot of books now, I think 50 or 60 books at Life Tips. How's your experience been with Life Tips and with the book?
It's been great. I had a lot of fun doing the book, and the putting together in the production process was pretty much out of my hands. The Life Tips crew took it from there, And I think it looks wonderful, and people are buying it. I don't honestly have a good sense of sales totals. You probably know that better than I do, but I certainly recommend it, and I recommend it to anyone who's thinking about training for a marathon. It's just the whole Life Tips book series is the design is so useful because it's just short little bites of information. You can just pick it up and kind of flip through, and your eye lands on something. And I think the whole experience is good, and I think the whole book series just is so useful to people.
Had you ever imagined in your life that you would be an author and your name at the Library of Congress and on an ISBN number and available at every major bookstore worldwide? Is that something you had pursued, tell me your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, it's actually I had thought about somehow trying to do some kind of a running related book because I'm a journalist in my day job. So I'm a writer for a living anyway, and running is my passion and something I just love to talk to people about, and I'm certainly known around my office and in circles of people I know as the running person. People come to me for advice about running shoes and running injuries, and so this was a great opportunity to be able to put some of that in book form so it can get out there to other people who I don't know but whom I'd love to be able to help.
Heidi, there are 507 running tips on your tip site at Life Tips that you've created over the years. Have you really enjoyed the experience to share this knowledge? And overall, how difficult has it been you to actually accumulate all of this knowledge? I mean, that's a lot of content.
Well, it is, but I've been running for a lot of years, and as I said, this is my main thing that I love to do, really, when I'm not having to be working, is I just love to run, and I love to read about running and try and keep up with sort of the latest information on running related products and what's new in shoes and gear, and also because I'm a medical journalist, I'm also interested in sports medicine research, and so some of my tips have sort of summaries and also even some links if I can put them to just some interesting studies that I find on sports medicine, things like Achilles tendonitis or knee injuries or things along those lines.
Hmm. Well, let's dig into some tips about preparing for a marathon. And just a quick footnote on that. Let's take an out-of-shape guy like myself. I do play hockey a couple days a week. I'm in reasonably good shape. But, you know, how much time would somebody like me that is not a trained marathon person but has a goal and a vision to someday run a marathon? I'm not sure if it's going to be the Boston Marathon. A flatter marathon in Nebraska might be better for me. But is it conceivable for somebody that really isn't an experienced marathon runner to ever imagine running a marathon?
Absolutely. And there are so many great beginner marathon training plans out there now that there's definitely one for everybody. And I think if that's something that's a goal, you know, even if you're just in moderate shape or even not in shape at all, you just need to allow yourself a little bit longer time horizon depending on where you're starting. But, I mean, there are plans out there that say, okay, you can take a 3-month or a 6-month training plan. If you're starting from not really being a runner at all, I would recommend maybe sort of looking ahead to, you know, at least 6 months to build up and to just sort of set a reasonable expectation of finishing first. I mean, I've done so many marathons, but every time I tell myself my first goal is to finish, and then I can have a second goal of a specific time or whatever, but the first goal is always to finish and to finish standing. And I think anyone can do that if they train smart and kind of set themselves, again, maybe 6 months or so if you're really starting from little or no running to begin with, but it's certainly doable.
Give us some of your tips on preparing for a marathon. Love to hear them. What's your first red-hot tip, and then I'd like to ask some questions after that tip.
Okay, well, I think the number one thing for the final week before the marathon is resist running a lot. You take take more rest than you need to during that last week. It's very tempting because you're feeling so good, you've been training so hard. It's tempting to sort of try and stick with your usual routine, but it will pay off if you back off. My best Boston Marathon time a couple of years ago was the week when I decided, you know, I'm going to really test out resting more this week. And just, you know, instead of going out for, you know, a 6 or 8 mile run, I said, okay, I'm just going to run 4 miles, and that's it. And no cross training that week, just taking it very easy. And it really paid off. I ran my best time by a couple of minutes. I mean, there were other factors, I think, that helped with that, but I think the rest is, that last week, it's, in any running you do that last week is not going to help you. It's the rest that's going to help you more.
Mm-hmm. Have you tended to shut yourself down a couple days before the marathon? Is that part of your strategy? Not run at all?
Not entirely, because for me, I feel sluggish if I don't run the day before. What I find, everyone is a little different, but what I find is I like to just about half an hour of easy running the day before, but then 2 days before I take a day off and don't run at all and don't do any cross training. And then backing further into that last week, I take at least one other day off, and then those other days, again, just sort of, you know, in half an hour, max 45 minutes at the max back in the earlier part of the week of running, but not just necessarily taking 4 straight days off in a row before the marathon, although there are people who do that. And I think as you get more experience, maybe you figure out what works for you. But for me, I like to just do a little something the day before just to get the blood flowing.
Uh-huh. What do you think are things you definitely should not be doing in the overall training process and procedure for a marathon? You know, what are the things that are common mistakes that people really pay a price for?
Well, I think one thing is, especially if you're a beginner, is trying to build up the mileage too fast. I think there are people who can, you know, go out and run a marathon on little or no training, but you're running a risk of getting injured. I mean, if the most you've ever run in your life is 6 miles, and, you know, 2 weeks later you go out and run 26, if you're in reasonable shape, you're probably not going to die from doing that, but you're going to be in a lot of pain at the very least, and you're setting yourself up for injury. And, I mean, I think having a slightly longer time horizon and building up gradually, and, for example, if you're 1 week your long run is 10 miles, then the next week make your long run 13, and then the next week maybe drop it back down to 10 or 12, and then the next week maybe up to 15. It's all about kind of a stepwise progression, and that's one of the things that I mention in my book also.
Hmm. Tell us a little bit about hydration during the marathon, but also prior to the marathon, and really preparing your body to probably overheat, as this certainly would be the case with me. But if it's a hotter or warmer day, how much liquid are you pouring in your body prior to the marathon?
Well, I think it's the important thing is that there's no real hard and fast rule about that, because everyone is a little different. And unfortunately, I think some people tend to overhydrate, and that can be problematic. I mean, there have been some publicized reports of people actually dying because they've been overhydrated. I mean, there was one case, I don't think it was in Boston, but I can't remember, maybe 4 years ago, of, you know, a perfectly healthy person, but somehow you can oversaturate yourself with water. It's called hyponatremia. What that means is, during a marathon, there are water stops every couple of miles, but you do not and probably should not be drinking at every one. I mean, if you're feeling thirsty, and also if you're having a power gel or something like that, those work better if you take them with a little water. But sort of go by how you're feeling. And if it's, I mean, before the race, it's important to have drunk some water, but don't drink a gallon of water. You know, feel comfortable and not thirsty, but you don't want to get to the start line feeling too full and sluggish. And if it's a hot day, obviously you'll need more water than if it's cool. So it's important to play it by ear.
I probably missed some tips, so I want, if there are any others that you have, but I just wanted to ask about the famous myth of having pasta prior to the marathon day, the meal, you know, the Last Supper before the meal, to use a religious term. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I think the last thing you have should be something that you're used to, whatever that is. I mean, I've read some sort of epic tales of what, you know, great marathoners in the past used to have. I think, I can't remember whether it was Bill Rogers or somebody, there was something involving mayonnaise with one of them, which I would not have thought of. For me personally, I have pizza. I think it's that way you get a little protein in there too, but you got your carbs. And you know, pasta is great. You pretty much can't go wrong with pasta, so if you're unsure. But it's best to have something that's either the same or very similar to what you have the night before you do your very long training runs, because then you know that chances are that that's not going to give you any trouble. I mean, if during the course of your marathon training you have pasta every Friday night and then you get up on Saturday and do your 14, 16, 18, 20-mile training runs, then that's what you should have the night before the marathon. I like to have my Friday night pizza, and then I'll get up early Saturday morning and do my long training runs, and that works really well for me. So as long as it's something that's familiar, this is not, the night before the marathon is not the time to go out to a funky restaurant in whatever city you're in and order something like, you know, spiced chicken and tofu or something that you just really don't know how you're going to react, because it could come back to haunt you.
George, our producer, wanted to ask if it's okay to drink alcohol while you're actually in the marathon.
Well, it probably won't hurt, but don't go crazy. I will say I've seen it done. I ran the one of many marathons I've run was the Honolulu Marathon in Hawaii. And that race in particular, I remember there were people along the course handing out cups of beer. And I did not drink any, but I saw people drinking it, and it's carbohydrate and it's liquid, but I wouldn't I wouldn't recommend really going overboard on that. And you won't probably see the elite athletes going for the beer in the middle of the race. They wait till the end.
There you go. I was just joking about that as well for George, but thanks for the great answer. Let's take a station break, everybody. We'll be back in just a second.
Life Tips will be right back after this short break. Staying ahead of the curve to deliver the best online marketing solutions you need. That's what the JAR Group is all about. The JAR Group offers a full-service suite of marketing and managing solutions custom-tailored for affiliate search and social media. The JAR Group uses their resources and research to help meet and exceed the revenue expectations of each and every client. Find out how the JAR Group can work for you at thejargroup.com. That's thejargroup.com. The JAR Group, online marketing with measurable results.
From domains to digital marketing, social media to blogging, you can reach this broad audience by using what you're listening to now. Reach the thousands of internet marketers that download and listen live to the premier on-air and on-demand podcast network. Contact sales at webmasterradio.fm to find out more today.
What is this? Why is my website not ranking higher?
Well, sounds like you could use a link building report from SEOFox.com.
What's that?
You can't rank without good backlinks. And SEOFox.com's link building report lets you enter domains and compare their backlinks. It gives a detailed report that shows you why each domain ranks where it does, and it reduces the time it takes to find more links. With SEOFox.com's link building report, you can find more links, use their search marketing services to find more links, or better yet, they could even build your own backlinks.
So you think you're pretty sly with that SEOFox link building report?
Sly like a fox.
Get your link building report today at SEOFox.com. That's SEOFox.com.
Inbox, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the Internet Marketing Channel, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
And now back to Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster and wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome back, everyone. We're here with Heidi Spleet. Thanks again so much for being on the show today, Heidi. I've got some questions for you about life tips. We have been working diligently behind the scenes here. Our Director of Technology, Aaron Robinson, and I have been working furiously for the last couple of weeks, interestingly enough, on a new rollout with lots of different things that I wanted to talk with you about. The first topic relates to translations into other languages. You can visit lifetips.com/ES and look at a Spanish version of Life Tips, which just is in beta right now. But what are your thoughts about your tips being published around the world in multiple languages? What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I think that's fantastic. I think that's a wonderful idea. Although, you know, I wonder a little bit how some things would translate, but I guess they would.
We have had some interesting challenges on that. We have had some very interesting challenges on that. We're using Google's translation technology, and it doesn't always, come out the right way. There's no question about it. We're fortunate to have to be in the Boston area here, where there are so many colleges and foreign students that we can get some interns to help out a little bit with the initial translations. We happen to have an intern in from Columbia, actually, that's been helping us with some Spanish translations to see things go well. But we're very excited about that and wanted your thoughts on that. The next thing to talk a little bit about is blogging. I'm going to run by the behind the scenes look with you, so some other gurus that will be listening into this can hear your thoughts on this. But so we introduced the blogging concept to all gurus. I don't know, maybe 6 months ago, what we found, interestingly enough, Heidi, is that writers like yourself, not surprisingly, are almost a little bit more excited to write blog posts than they are to write tips. So we found ourselves in a little bit of a problem. So what we've done with the new interface that's going to be launching this weekend, actually, in Monday, is we've kind of bundled the tip writing with the blog promotion, and we've moved the blog promotion into lifetips.com/blog, in your case, /running. So what we're doing is we're moving your blog post. You still sort of have a running blog, if you will, but what we're doing is we're kind of saying, you know, Heidi, we want you to drive more traffic to your website. We want you to link your blog posts over to tips that you're writing. We want to bundle the two together and say, great, we want gurus to come to Life Tips and write tips, because that's really the obligation we feel we have to readers. But we also want you to write kind of a commentary about that tip that takes the shape and form of a blog post that will actually link over to your tip. And we have not rehearsed this, so you can tell me, Byron, this is a terrible idea. I don't mind that. But what are your thoughts on that? Can you understand the logic of that? We wanted you to be able to drive traffic both to your blog on Life Tips that's actually on the main subdomain that links over to your tips in offering that commentary. What are your thoughts? Do you understand the strategy? Does it make sense to you? What are your thoughts?
I think I understand it. Most of my blogs tend to kind of be like tips anyway.
Yep.
So I think kind of meshing it all together makes some sense. And actually, and maybe this is just in the early phases of it, but I've noticed on the screen, I think over the last couple of months, what it looks like is that the blog posts are there, but then all the tips are still along the sides with the different categories. So anybody who's reading the blog can kind of see the different categories of tips and click on them if they want more information about that,
right.
Which makes sense. And
yeah.
Is that kind of what it's supposed to be?
Yes. You'll get a feel for it even now by by looking up, you could probably do a search on your name and then put blog on the end of it, and it will probably, Google's probably already found its way to the new post. But you get the idea. It sounds like you're as Mick Jagger says, you're open for offers, but you're not up for grabs with how we do too many changes at one time. And I appreciate that. Here's some other changes are in the new gurus that are coming to Life Tips and the requirements that we're asking them to really roll out. So you're an amazing guru, Heidi. You've been with us forever. You know, the number of tips you have is remarkable. But what we found over the years is that, you know, some people have come to Life Tips, you know, thinking that we're kind of like about.com and they're going to make, you know, $1.5 million a year writing tips, and they, you know, the expectations are way too high. And other writers just have passion for their topic, and they're not in it for the money per se. They're in it to publish a book, and like you, and they are two books in your case, which we should talk about later. But you know, they're just in it to sort of make the world a better place with great content, and those are really the gurus that we're looking for. So what we decided to do is to try to, you know, help gurus initially by giving them some goals and giving them some challenges and really laser focusing them on the 101 tip book. And what we're asking the gurus to do is to create 101 tips in 101 days when you're first approved to be a guru. So we want gurus that can really launch their tip site with good tips from them sort of, you know, quickly so they can really make an impact. Do you think that goal is reachable, you know, and do you understand why we're doing it? We just don't want to approve people and have them sort of do nothing, you know, and say, oh, great, I'm a guru now, you know, but, you know, we feel like, hey, you're a guru, you need to write tips, you know. Do you understand the logic and why that will help, you know, help us make Life Tips better?
I think that makes some sense, and it also seems that, I mean, as I said, in my case, I sort of feel like the blog posts and the tips are almost really one and the same, at least the nature of the blog posts that I write. Mm-hmm. And so I think if you're having people do that, is the idea that each day it would be like a blog post slash tip, and then that first group of 101 would go into the book, and then they could just keep blogging and slash tipping from there.
Yeah, it's an excellent question, and here's perhaps a clean, concise answer. We feel that Life Tips, as it's grown up and matured now, reaching our 10 years, really is a custom publisher. We feel that our goal and objective in life is to make the world a better place one tip at a time, and we offer great opportunity for a writer to join Life Tips and become the exclusive guru of that topic. We feel there's an obligation for that guru to create 101 really good tips that are not only worthy of the website, but are worthy of publishing in a printed book that's part of our service. So for writers, we are rolling out what we call the exclusive program for writers. You come to Life Tips free of charge in 101 days. You submit your 101 tips that would be published on the website and in a book. They're worthy, high-end tips that could find multiple purposes, both on the web and in a printed form. You know, after that, we feel that a guru should have an obligation to create 20 tips per month. And yes, to answer your question, the tip can be viewed as a blog post. It's just we want to separate. The tip itself is a matter of fact, read this, it will make your life better. The blog post is tied to the tip, and it is your personal explanation as to why you like that tip or why it's important. And, you know, we feel that you know, there are so many topics out there and so much information and knowledge that our goal and objective is to laser focus all of the writers in producing tips. And certainly a blog post can accompany that tip. It doesn't necessarily have to accompany that tip. You can just write a tip on Life Tips that's by itself and doesn't have a blog post associated with it. But we want blogging to be a personal commentary about the tip content. So that's the philosophy behind it. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, and actually I'm glad to know that because basically what I've been writing as blog posts are pretty much tips.
Yep.
I've sort of combined, you know, a tip and commentary, but I've just posted it as a blog post. And
right.
So I guess from a logistical, technical standpoint, I guess what I need to be doing going forward is looking, and maybe it'll be obvious to me, on what I would do to have something be a tip and then have something be a blog, and have them be two separate things rather than just crammed together in the same one. And maybe I just need to look more closely at the website to see that I'm doing that.
Hopefully, if we did our job, it's all stripped down and very, very simple now. So I think it'll be fun for you to go take a look at it. We've literally sort of stripped out almost all of the noise and clutter that was originally associated with a tip site, and made it much, much easier to really publish content and publish tips more specifically. We've pulled out things like, you know, the job board that used to exist, because remember, Life Tips for many years now has provided the freelance writing opportunities for all of the gurus that were on board. That's all changed now and moved over to Ideal Launch and Writer Access, so the freelance writing jobs really come through Writer Access and Ideal Launch. We've wanted to strip Life Tips down and make it super simple and really make it laser-focused on bringing in gurus that are just passionate about their topic and want to use Life Tips as a gateway to promote their books. Speaking of book promotion, which I really think is going to be the important part of you know, what everyone's assignments are, we're moving that above the fold so it's up higher on the page. And here's a question for you. It's not so much a doesn't relate to specifically what we're doing. You know, I'm sure you are, you know, would you like to have your books available for sale on Life Tips in a PDF format? So a printed book would not be, need to be printed for a less dollar amount. Gurus, of course, make 20% of the commission on book sales of $9.99. But if we created an ebook version of your book that was less expensive and, by the way, saved the environment so trees were not killed in the actual printing process, is that something that you would be welcome? What are your thoughts on that, a PDF version of your 101 best of the best, you know, select tips?
Sure. I think that's a great idea. And I think as more people start downloading things to read on the e-books or even on cell phones and everything else, I think that makes sense. And especially these Life Tips books really lend themselves to that because of the nature of them and because of the way they're presented. You can actually read a tip just on the screen, and you probably wouldn't even have to scroll very much. So, yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Thanks. Tell me a little bit about the ask me a question concept, which you see appearing. Is it helpful for you to learn what the wants and needs of your readers are? Do you field any of those questions currently? We're working on some upgrades to send you alerts when somebody asks a specific running question. So that'll be a nice upgrade. But is it helpful for you to answer these questions?
Actually, alerts would be helpful because I'm not necessarily checking all the time.
Yeah.
And when it's occurred to me to check, I haven't seen that many questions.
Yeah.
I have the couple that I've seen, I've answered, but I don't know whether, you know, the asker has then seen that response or not. I don't always know how long the question's been there. I don't know how many people are really using that, but maybe more people will start using it if you make that a more prominent feature on the main page. And you know, if so, I'm certainly happy to try and answer that. That's not something I've had very much experience with, honestly.
Yeah, no, it's a question. We don't get a lot of questions. We're getting a lot more now. If you can imagine, we drive, you know, a million unique visitors to LifeTips every month, and they're always 97% of the traffic comes to the guru pages. We have a lot of guru sites that are not being, you know, that we haven't rolled out a new guru program yet, so we're inviting a lot of gurus to join LifeTips. You know, in the next couple months when we roll out this program, so we expect to have literally hundreds of new gurus climbing on board in this new super simple program. But we do like user questions. It's interactive, and we get a lot. You can actually go to LifeTips and look at the questions section, and you'll see that questions are coming in. Like every 10 or 15 minutes, somebody's asking something. The problem is not all these questions are being answered right now because, you know, we just don't have gurus in all these niches, so it is, we feel like we're neglecting. We did create a feature so anybody can ask a question anybody can answer any question that anybody asks. But once we get our gurus on board, we're probably going to change that a little bit, just to let our gurus be the exclusive answer service for questions, to give them some interaction with customers and prospect customers. And by the way, prospect customers that might buy their book. That's the hope.
Right, exactly.
So the other interesting question that is tough to ask, but I'm just going to ask it to you anyway, and we're live on the air, so let your answers be your own thoughts or opinions. So for so many years now, we've tried to compete with about.com, where the guides over at about.com earn a percentage of the advertising revenue on the site. And so we've marketed this concept of, you know, become a guru of LifeTips and earn 20% commission on your book sales and 20% commission on the advertising sales. Ad revenue, you know, the Chitika ad revenue on your site that's featured above the fold, blah, 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 blah. But what ends up happening, as in the case with you, is that there's just not a lot of money earned there. People are just not clicking on the ads at LifeTips, and there aren't, you know, 40 million visitors going to LifeTips, and there aren't ads popping in the face of the visitors like there are over at about.com. We're a little bit more laid back, and our content tends to be the focus of what we've chosen to show our readers, not ads all over the place like about.com. Nothing wrong with that. They're generating a lot more revenue and they have a lot more traffic, so I shouldn't be saying anything negative all about.com. They're a great company owned by the New York Times, which will hopefully stay in business as we move forward. But the net of it is, is this 20% draw, you know, the reason that you're a guru at LifeTips? You know, how would you feel about us just taking that away and not promoting it, you know, and letting disappointment happen on your end, and just focusing our business model on come to LifeTips, become a guru, free of service, we will publish a 101 tip book for you, which is exactly what we've done for you a couple of times. And as long as you keep writing at least 20 either tips or answers to user questions, you can continue to be a guru of LifeTips. Continue promoting yourself for as long as you want, as long as your quality of the content continues to be great. That's the new model we're rolling out. Can you understand, A, why we're rolling it out? You know, and what are your thoughts on it? You know, are you going to be disappointed that the Chitika revenue, you know, is that why you think people might be motivated? You know, what are your thoughts on that? Because it's hard to manage that, as you know. It involves multiple logins and hassle, and we think disappointment, you know, that people aren't making as much money as they might believe they could when they hear about some of the competitors about .com. So I'm rambling on, but what are your thoughts on this, Heidi? I'd love to hear your thoughts on it.
Well, I agree that the Chitika thing is confusing. I mean, I think it's good to minimize that. I mean, that was not so much of a draw for me. I've enjoyed doing the tips, and what I would like to see maybe is more promotion of the books in whatever way you can do. Once the books are done, I think it would be great if you could promote the heck out of them, and the writers will too, hopefully, and But again, you know, sort of de-emphasizing, you know, that this isn't necessarily going to be how you pay your mortgage. Because I thought I signed up for the Chitika thing, but I haven't seen anything from that.
You have to have a $50 value when you read their, like, 700,000-word fine print that you checked on. You have to have a $50 minimum spend, $50 minimum earning before they write a check for you, right? So it means that people, you know, they don't make $50 for 2 months, 6 months, a year, you know. And as a result of that, they somehow feel that, you know, that they've, you know what I mean? It's just like a bad setup. They can't look at how much. I actually think you can log in to Chitika to see how much you've earned. You do have a login, so you can go over there. I think that my last check on your account was you might actually one of the higher ones because you're so active. You would earn like maybe $45 or something like that. You know, and so what I think I'm going to do is just shut that down and you know, certainly cut checks to all gurus that we owe money to. But I just think that you hit the nail on the head when you said, you know, it's the expectation thing that is really bothering me. You know, I feel like we're promoting this 20%. When you look at our current sign-up page, which is changing again next week, we want to do something really well and uber focus on it, and it's just creating good content and becoming a custom publishing promotion machine for anybody that chooses to sign up. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm. No, I think it does, the Chitika thing it's a nice idea in theory, but also realistically, I mean, when I'm on websites, I don't click on ads very much, and I wouldn't necessarily expect that a lot of other people would either if they're going to read something or whatever. But I think it makes more sense to focus on promoting the books because those are great products. And I think even in PDF, you know, we may even sell more and make it up on volume.
Exactly. And there's no overhead, and it's the opportunity is ours to do that. And even looking at things like, you know, ClickBank and, you know, ebook, you know, PDF ebook sales are an enormous market. And I think that we'll get some bright minds and gurus that understand that marketplace and could help us, you know, really market our books better. So we're going to try to put a lot of resources into that. You have it spot on. My ink is filled, my pen is filled with ink here. Do you have any other wish lists for life tips and what our custom publishing services can do for you as a freelance writer and as a journalist and as somebody that wants to advance their writing career?
Well, I think opportunities to promote the writers to clients who would like to have them maybe write for them and do other paying work for them would be great. Networking is always good.
Mm-hmm.
So
what about collaboration?
That would be the top.
What about collaboration with fellow gurus? Is that of interest with you?
Sure. I don't know whether that would mean cross promoting some books, or I'd certainly like to know more about what you had in mind for that.
Message boards, community boards, guru boards, boards where people can go and, you know, talk about me and how I'm not managing the company well. Just joking. Joking. But no, we're very open to creative ideas from all gurus. You know, we run several businesses with our staff here. And our clients tend to be drive. You know, you've done multiple freelance writing projects through Writer Access. You know, and by the way, how has that experience been as a freelance writer and just working with Idea Launch and Writer Access?
That's been terrific. All the staff over there are so wonderful to work with, and that's just been a real pleasure and a really great thing for me to be able to have those freelance opportunities. I enjoy doing that, and that's just a great opportunity.
We think that Life Tips is a great stepping stone to really, you know, giving great writers an opportunity to express their passion and also to get exposure to clients. And through Life Tips, and so that we really use, you came to us through Life Tips, and that's why we're able to, find great writers like you. So I do think Life Tips is a great stepping stone for that. And thanks for the great work you do for clients over at Idea Launch. What else is on your list? Anything I can pry out of you? I'm so open to making Life Tips better, and even the website better. For example, another interesting revenue source that we're looking at for gurus is getting paid to answer questions. If you could get alerts properly, and we can make the free answers to questions work, would a paid pay-for-answer from a guru service be of interest to you?
Sure, I think that would be interesting, and I think that would be appealing to a lot of writers because that's sort of instant gratification. It's not like you have to wait for the book to sell or you have to wait for someone to click on the ads. So I think you should definitely pursue that.
And how about teaching and training, webinar? I'm putting together a webinar, really the first Life Tips training webinar for gurus, if you can imagine. Of course, when you came to us, we were probably mailing out the tubes with the T-shirts and the kit, if you remember those days. Were you part of Life Tips that long ago?
I wasn't quite back that far.
You don't go that back that far?
No, I didn't. I never got a T-shirt.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because we changed our site design so quickly. We had all these T-shirts that were like the wrong brand, the wrong color scheme. We were like embarrassed to mail them out. But truth be known, I have 300 or 400 Life Tips T-shirts in my basement that are they're beautiful cotton. I find that, I don't know if you knew this, but cotton must age and get softer over time. I pull one out every once in a while. They are so soft. It's amazing. The cotton is aging, I think. But okay, so T-shirts I'll put on your wish list. That sounds interesting. But what about training?
I'll tell you what, if you can do a moisture wicking T-shirt for me, I'll wear it next time I run the Boston Marathon.
Ooh, nice. That sounds fun.
Free advertising. People can look at your logo for 26.2 miles.
Any other wish list items?
Not right off the top of my head. I think, definitely promote the books and the pay for answering questions is interesting. And I will have to revisit the website and figure out how to make sure I'm posting a tip versus a blog.
You'll have some good data on that. We're going to be running a webinar the first week of April to share all of these new releases and this new data. The international translation will be interesting.
Definitely.
And looking at translations of even a PDF version of books, if we can make it available, would be a nice target for the latter part of 2010. Optimization tools are interesting for me, providing better optimization tools and resources for gurus to optimize the content that they roll out. So overall, Heidi, it was just great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for being a guru at Life Tips, sharing your knowledge and everything you do at Life Tips and have done for the last 5 years. Thanks so much for being on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Right on. And hope everyone's life was a little smarter, better, faster, and wiser. We'll see you next week, everybody. Thanks very much.